Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. JUDYGOLD.
I need to start this podcast. Well, first of all, I am so excited that we have Molly K. Bernard. Okay, listen. Molly, everyone, I know you all know, and you're all like, oh my God, how did she get Molly K. Bernard? But I am very important, okay? What? So we will begin with telling everyone that Molly's dog's name is Henry, and she has another dog named Judy, okay? They're both Jewish. And my name is Judy, and I have a son named Henry. And so now Molly is going to promise me that her next dog will be named Ben.
And your next dog or child has to be named Molly.
Okay, I'm never having another child. I'm 50. How old am I? Oh, my God, I'm 58. I was going to say I'm 55, but I'm 58. Listen, I have the best story. I have the best Molly story for you. So my friends got married. And he ended up being gay. I mean, he was gay then, but they got married and then they got divorced because he's gay.
Sure.
And they had a daughter named Molly, right? And they're like really close friends, got a dog and named named the dog Molly. And they never talked to them again because they named their dog Molly and they had a kid named Molly. Isn't that mental?
That is totally mental. And I think Molly, fabulous name for dogs and humans alike.
Right. And you're a Molly.
I'm a Molly. And I think Molly is also one of the best dog names that ever did exist.
Yeah.
I dog sat when I was 18. I dog sat a dog named Molly and she loved trash. And I would say no Molly on the streets. Molly, classy, not trashy, honey. Because she would always, you know, rifle through the trash. And I was like, honey, no, classy.
Molly, you are
Very beautiful. And today you have like makeup on. Like, what is wrong with you? Did you get up and have make and put on makeup?
What if I was like, I have no makeup on? I have a full press day. So you're my first.
Okay.
Sunscreen.
You're very attractive. You're very attractive. And I'm a lesbian. Okay. So I know attractive. Before we get to your current life, which I do a lot of research on my guests. And I love Hannah Lieberman.
My Jewish.
I love her. I love her.
I'm marrying a Jewish attorney.
I know. What more can you ask for?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely.
And she is also adorable.
She's adorable. She's smart. She's a good girl. She's a public defender.
I know. She's like a good kind of lawyer.
You know, she is. That's right.
Now, Molly, you are, of course, on Younger. You've done so much stuff. I'm excited to talk about your new film, Milkwater, which you're the executive producer of.
No, what the
heck? Fucking great is that?
It's wild. We made the film in 21 days and I fell in love with it.
What?
It was so, so fast. It was like an ultra low budget indie and it was quick and dirty and a lot of night shoots. And it's like, I called it an impossible project because it is and it was. But then the director, Morgan Ngari, sent me the edit and I was in love with it. And I was like, I'm coming on as EP, honey. Sign me up.
Really? I have a question. You put on your EP hat, right? Which is so vastly different than being a performer. You know what I mean? It's like you see this other side of the business or the creative process, right? Does that affect your performing? Like, because you have that knowledge now.
Oh, interesting. You know, I want to do it again, kind of, I look forward to doing it again while we're making the thing, whether it's a series or a film, because
right.
it was actually kind of nice to come on after the film was made, because I then was able to use, like, I wasn't in my head while making the film as it
right.
was in my head as it, which was already enough as an actress, like just dealing with that. What's been great coming on as an EP once the film was made is that I've had a lot of creative control about the poster, which I love. Like, I ended up inviting a dear friend of mine to make the poster. She does a lot of the illustrations for the Times parenting section. Her name is Alex Citrin, and she's just so funny.
Oh, Jewish?
She is very Jewish. Are you kidding?
Yes, there you go.
And she's full delight. And I knew that, like, I wanted the poster to match our film in style, but also I wanted it to be delicious to look at. Like, I wanted it up on my wall. And I feel like movie posters are such a crucial thing. It's a little bit like the cover of the book or.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Also buy wine based off the label. Like,
I mean, there's so many times I'll see the poster and be like, oh my God, I have to see that movie just from, it's very people. We like visual stuff in this country.
I know. And so that was fun that, like, I got to come in and we had so many calls with the distributor and I got to be on Zoom.
Wow.
And text.
Did you learn like so much?
I did. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about part of like having creative control. That what I love most about it is that in this instance, it was extremely collaborative.
Right.
And everyone was extremely nice, but also knew, we all knew exactly what we were very clear about what we wanted and what we didn't want.
Right.
It was so seamless. I really can't wait to do it again. I'm sure there will be times in my life that I do it that it's less seamless.
Right, right.
But producing is just about being organized and making your deadlines.
It's so amazing. I was a producer on Rosie O'Donnell show. I mean, being a producer, it doesn't matter what it's all about fucking details, like every little detail. You miss one thing, it'll screw up the whole. Yeah. All right. I have done a lot of research on you and I know that you don't like to talk about your childhood, but I have been like, I read many articles that one said you're Jewish.
Yeah.
True. And then I had two different articles. One said you were born in Brooklyn and one said you were born in Las Vegas.
Do you want the truth?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. So I was born in Las Vegas and my grandparents pretty much raised me.
Yes, I know that. Joseph and Bina.
Oh, Joe and Bina. Oh, I miss them so much.
Oh, I bet.
So my grand, okay, this, you'll love this. My grandfather was, he was Jewish and a communist. His real-
Oh, really?
Yeah. His real last, he was blacklisted actually. His
and best- he started Lee Strasberg Institute, right? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
He co-founded that and then was the artistic director there. So my grandfather was born Joseph Fieldman and he, yeah, gentle ring of the bell. And his best friend was John Garfield. And this was during McCarthyism and HUAC was going on. And he was blacklisted, my grandfather, for being a commie and for being Jewish. And he was an actor. He was all of it.
Right.
So what he did is he changed his last name, Fieldman, to his father's first name, which was Bernard. Which is why I have kind of an ambiguous, like, you know.
Right.
I think it's French. It's not. It's just like Minsk, Jewish, American.
Right.
Like, you know, Brighton Beach. There we go.
So you're born in Las Vegas. What is with the Brooklyn? Because I know you went to, wait, let me look at my thing. You went to school in Las Vegas.
I did. I don't know what's with the Brooklyn. The Brooklyn appeared one day on the internet and I was like, well, you know what? There's going to be weird things.
Right.
And a lot of truths, a lot of mistruths. So any whoozlebees, I don't know. I guess my grandparents are from Brooklyn and
right.
I've always lived in Brooklyn. Let's see. What is the Brooklyn thing? I don't know.
It's just funny because I had one article that said, born in Las Vegas. All right. Okay. So you're born in Las Vegas. You go to school in Las Vegas, correct?
Yeah. I went to this high school called the Las Vegas Academy of International Studies, Performing and Visual Arts, and it saved my life. So the reason why I don't like to talk about my childhood, and I'm going to give you one sentence, and that's all I can do right now in terms of my, you know, where I'm at in therapy. But I'm estranged from my biological mother, and mm-hmm. I actually never met my father. So my grandparents really did the brunt of the work. And this high school just was this magnet school I had to audition to get into. And it is like this crown jewel of Las Vegas. Like I was in advanced placement classes. It gave me an opportunity to go and get a full ride scholarship to Skidmore.
Skidmore, baby.
And then Skidmore also set me up to, I always wanted to go to the Yale School of Drama because.
Right.
So basically this school, this high school set me up for just an incredible, Clark County is one of the worst school districts in the country.
Right. I know. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So
it's amazing that I can even read. But this high school is incredible. Like the amount of care when I went, the faculty was like my family. I spent more time at that school than I did at any home.
Right.
Really set me up. Like that high school was harder than college and graduate school.
No way. Did you live on campus or was it commute? You commuted.
There was a commute.
Okay. Your grandfather, Joe, what you took acting classes with him. And when you were six, you learned how to read in his, is that correct? In his acting class.
Oh yeah. I mean, he had this studio. He retired to Las Vegas and then he ended up opening his own little part-time acting studio. And I think he expected to teach, you know, like the showgirls.
Right.
And the people on the Las Vegas Strip entertainment scene. And he ended up teaching like taxi cab drivers and school teachers and mechanics. They all were the ones who wanted to take the acting class. And it was so, he had such a sweet.
And did they realize who, like, that this guy is like major, you know, it's not like you're taking an acting class, let me look in the flyer and there's an acting. They're studying with a major.
Right.
Acting.
I know. I think some of them realized that. And I'm sure some of them had no idea who any of those people were. But I think he was actually like babysitting me. And that's how I ended up going to the acting class. And then I just couldn't, I fell in love.
Would you remember like watching the acting class and being like, oh my God, I want to do this? Oh, or
yes. And I remember, you know, he taught cold reading and audition technique at Strasberg. So he pretty much, he would do some scene study, but it was a lot of like cold, learning how to cold read. Which is, I think, why I still to this day love auditioning, because it was, I learned how to do that before I learned how to do a play or be in a play or read. Like it was more, you know, how to show up, deal with your nerves and be present on the fly. And
it is so like, if you're going to be an actor, that I took a class like that in LA and it, like, just here's the material. You have 10 minutes. Come back. We're going to film you. You're going to watch yourself. And it was like, ooh.
Oh, I mean, it's a seventh dimension of hell, really.
Yeah. But
I think because I kind of, my grandfather, he just like kind of taught me ass backwards. Like I loved that.
Right.
That was what I thought acting was. So when I went to this high school in Las Vegas, I did my first play when I was like 14 or 15 years old.
Right.
After being in acting class for basically 10 years before that.
Did you go to Clark County Public School before that?
I did.
What was it? Was it like showgirls kids? And like, what was the student body like?
Fascinating question. I mean, it's, Las Vegas is such a strange mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
People just end up there. There's very few folks who are born there. It's, everyone has like a story of how they ended up in Las Vegas.
Right.
Now I think, I mean, I haven't been back in like 15 years, but when I was there, when I was growing up, yeah, there were showgirls kids. There were like pharmacy kids. There was a lot of, there's a huge Mormon population and a big Christian population. So there's actually like within the city of Sin, there's a ton of religion there also.
Right. Well, they have to save the people.
That's right. Everyone needs,
you know, to. Yeah, they need to be saved. Very important.
God, my partner Hannah just came in from the outdoors with sunglasses, looking cute.
Let me see, Hannah Banana.
Look at her, Hannah. Yeah.
She is adorable.
Can you believe it?
I mean, the two of you are like hot one and hot two. I can't take it.
Okay, so listen, I have two moms who adopted me later in life, and
yeah,
they're married, and they're my light. They're my saving grace. When I first showed, like I went on this, my first date with Hannah, and I was obsessed. And I mean like drooling, like salivating, like could, you know, my cheeks hurt because I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I showed my fucking mom a picture of Hannah, and my mom went, she goes, oh, she likes you. She's so attractive. And I was like, that is
so Swedish, kind of. So you're saying she's good looking and that you find her attractive. Is that what you're trying? Is she Jewish? Are any of your moms Jewish?
Yes, I got a Jewish and a Christian mom.
Okay. And I'm going to go with the Jewish mom saying she likes you.
Of course.
That's right. Because we cannot give a compliment. It has to be completely backhanded.
That's correct. You do this to your kids? I say, I love you. I love you so much. She goes, okay.
Oh, no. I am like, that is very, is she like any Holocaust? My mother was like that.
Your mother was like that.
Yeah. So my mother was like, we never hugged. We never, nothing. There was no, the only thing that got any sort of, I would say kudos or you felt loved was when you had a snarky, clever comment. Like that was the money in my family. Like very funny, very, you know. And I was taught like people who are emotional in public or are faking. So I was like, oh, this worked out really well.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. They're supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Growing up in Las Vegas to me is just a whole, because I, you know, I'm older than you. For me, like, Vegas wasn't a place people lived, you know?
It's not.
Right.
I mean, it obviously is because I'm a human being and you're talking to me and I was
right.
There, but it is a, it's not a good, I'm sorry, Las Vegas people who are listening to this. It's not a good place to grow up. I did not have a good time there. I met one of the best friends in my life. My very, very best friend, Vicky, and her family. And they all moved back to the East Coast, though.
Did you visit Brooklyn or the East Coast when you were a kid? Okay. So you knew there was a world outside of Vegas.
I did. And I was just counting down the days, hours, and minutes until I could get the fuck out. I have not been back since the day that I left when I was...
Wow.
I had just turned 18. And I think I will probably make it my life's work to never go back.
Wow. That's pretty heavy. So, like, at what age were you where, oh my God, my grandfather's this, like, icon?
Screen Actors Guild magazine did a feature on him when I was, like, 14 or 15.
Right.
He was, like, the last great acting teacher alive, because my grandfather also studied with Stella Adler.
And I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, his best, and he was in class for years with Mark.
Right.
They were very, very close friends. And so none of it made sense to me. Like, I remember when my grandfather drove me up to the Hollywood Hills in LA to visit Marlon when I was a kid. And I was really afraid of him because he was really big and scary. And my, like, god uncle was Jerry Lewis. So I was
aware. Oh my God.
I was aware, but unaware. But I think because my grandfather was such a snarky guy and because Jerry was such a snark, like, and my grandmother also, I would get detention in school because I swore all the time. Cause no one told me it wasn't okay to shit, poop, dick. And I remember, you overheard my grandparents talking about Bill Clinton's impeachment, and I was like 11 years old.
Right.
No, this was must have been, I don't know, I was in like first or, I don't know what grade I was in, must have been third?
99, it was 1998, 99, 7, 9, yeah, something.
I was too young to say things like, he just got a blowjob. That's okay.
Right.
And then boom, detention you get. So I was just around these big, And I think my grandfather always said I had a sailor's mouth, but that's because I grew up. This is the other thing about growing up in Las Vegas is like my grandparents and I, you know, before bed, we would all play like a round of poker.
And oh my God. I love them.
If they were perfect people, if my grandmother beat, if me or my grandmother beat my grandfather in poker, he would call us a Nazi bastard. If my grandfather beat my grandmother, she would call him a cocksucker. And this is just like the love language that I...
But that I did that with my kids. My mother used to call me a truck driver. And why do you curse so much? And there is a study that people who curse a lot are highly intelligent. FY and I, you motherfuckers. So...
Right, cocksuckers.
You
yeah.
fucking piece of shit, anus. You know, it's interesting because my parents were older when they had me. They were 41 and 48. So you sort of had the same thing where you grew up with an older, different values. You know, that's the thing, that they had different values than young parents. You know, they were set in their ways. They knew, like, that's why they cursed around you, because they knew that it wasn't like, oh my God, she's going to be a horrible person if she fucking right. curses.
Right.
Motherfucker.
They also just lived through so much shit that
right.
I think by the time they had me, they had sorted all of their existential bullshit out.
Right.
Like, listen, let's just help her a little bit along this. It's life is hard and it's going
right.
to fucking suck. Who knows what she's going to live through. So like,
right.
Set her up right.
So, all right. So you're going to these acting classes and you go to this amazing high. Were you popular in high school?
Judy, I was freshman and sophomore class president.
Okay, I'm gonna vomit.
You have to understand, I was also fucking prom queen. But
oh my God!
It's okay. I went to a performing arts school. There were uh-huh. no sports. This was not, I mean, it was truly people, like this was the freak school. And it's okay that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was popular because I didn't give a shit. I just,
right. Was there anyone else in your class that we would know that went to the high school with you?
Yes. Julianne Hough. She's she's very, very famous. She's on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Okay. I love that. Okay.
Do you know Kathy Najimy?
Of course. I love Kathy. She was a guest on my podcast.
The three of us need to have a hang. Kathy's one of my-
Oh my God. I love her. I love that apartment too.
Oh, I know. Okay, let's do a hang with Kathy.
Okay, the best.
She plays my mom. She plays my mom on Young.
Yeah, I know. You think I don't know this shit?
I don't know. You know,
I'm very, yeah. I love, you know who I love? Dan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the best.
Yeah. And I love Samia.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Our kids had a play date when they were very, very young.
Are they around the same age?
Yes, Henry and Samia are... I wanted them to get married, but it's not happening. And I don't want anyone, I wouldn't marry my son. Yeah. I mean, maybe one of them, I don't know. All right. Don't say that, Judy. That's terrible. That's mean. Shut up. Huh?
With two sons.
Two sons.
So is it true that lesbians are destined to have boys?
So if you use frozen sperm, it's like 70%. I don't know if it's still like that, a boy. Because they survive, the boy's sperm survives. But I got to tell you, I have lesbian friends with daughters. I love being a boy mom.
You have. I kind of hope we have one of each.
Yeah, that would be, I thought we were going to have one of each, but we didn't. So it's fine. But yeah, I love being a boy mom. But
you think you raised them well?
Here's the thing.
That's a weird question to ask. I'm so sorry. It's hard.
No. Here's what's interesting about lesbians raising boys. Cause I've asked their girlfriends, cause of course they're straight. I can get any, like they're straight. It's like they're, and I mean, for years I'm like, do you think maybe a little bit like anything? No. So this is the difference. They both have female best friends. They know how to be friends with a woman. They don't, it's never like that. They're only like, there's so many guys, especially, you know, since I'm a comic, who just don't know how to have a platonic relationship without objectifying straight guys, you know, without objectifying the woman. which is also very apparent in their material. But yeah, they don't ever think women can't do something. They think of us equally. They have bet, you know, it's like, oh, you know, my best friend, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, not a big deal, you know? And they never, it was never a big deal to hang out. And it's, I mean, it's interesting that they're both bro-y kind of guys. So, and that was not from either of us, but they still, and they love sport. They're very straight. But then there's this other side. And I asked one of Henry's old girlfriend, what's the difference between him and other guys you dated? And she's like, oh my God, he talks about his feelings all the time. It's so annoying. So they definitely are very emotionally intelligent and in touch with their feelings so much. And they cry and they, you know, like, I mean, I read an article where you were talking about one of the characters in Transparent where you would meet in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess the cast would meet in the morning and you'd have to say what you're grateful for. And one of the bro guys just, you know, like just had an emotional sort of.
So Joey Soloway did love Joey.
Joey lives down the street from me in Provincetown now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole Provincetown thing. I love Provincetown.
Yeah.
I'm a Fire Island gal myself, but I love
Provincetown. Oh, are you?
I mean, yes, I am. But okay, so Joey, it's actually, yes, I just want to yes and what you said, but it's even a little more interesting because it wasn't just the cast. It was the crew, the transpo drivers. It was every
person I love that.
Involved in making the show that day.
Oh, I love that.
Catering, PAs, everyone stood around in a circle. It was called the box. You stand on the box. And if, you know, if the spirit moved you, stand on the box, do a check-in. How are you today? What are you grateful for? What's bothering you? Like a full, just open invitation to bring yourself, your feelings, and your, like, your vibe. I don't know. That's a terrible word. But
right. Your essence.
That day.
Right.
And yeah. Well, I mean, it was my favorite part of being on that show. But yeah, one day this transpo driver got up and he was like, you know, I was home with my wife and I just feel like I'm able to talk about my feelings now because of this experience. I'm like, I can actually, I've learned that being brave is being vulnerable.
What?
I had to pick my jaw up off the floor. I was like, this is amazing.
How lucky is his wife?
Yeah. Yeah. Transpo driver. So good.
That is fucking great.
It was amazing. I mean, that show, I think, really was the first of its kind.
And right.
I just can't wait for, I can't wait to see what else Joey does and how they're going to go about, you know, changing this industry from the inside out in terms of if you're a feeling sensitive person, you're going to make beautiful, beautiful.
Right.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
One of my heroes, you got to play her daughter, Judith Light, who I know because I've met a few times. Can I just tell you a Judith Light story? When I was in the 90s and I've always been an activist for equality. And we went to the March on Washington I had been working at the AIDS ride since like 84. And she spoke at this rally and I must've been 24, 25, and this is the 80s and it's not, we're in the middle of this AIDS crisis. You just couldn't be out. I mean, it was a whole different world. Like the AIDS crisis, totally, you couldn't hide. Gay men couldn't hide anymore. That was the thing. They had to come out because they're walking down the street at skeletons and people realize, it really kind of, and it also brought the community together. But she spoke at one of the marches or one of the rallies and it was the most moving, she said something about love. There's no bad love. It was like, here's this straight woman who doesn't have to come out here and support. And this is when it wasn't popular, she's so like, I just have this deep admiration and love for her. She's such an incredible person.
And I tell her this every time I see her, she is a national treasure.
Yes.
And I think, I didn't play her daughter. I played the young her.
Oh, I mean the young, yes. I'm sorry. The her is a young. Sorry about that.
No, my God, no.
That must have been so challenging.
I mean, I thank God I have a, fancy MFA from Yale.
Yeah.
They taught me how to actually trust my instincts there. And I trusted my instincts and that involved, I had watched a bunch of Transparent. I'd watched it twice over the whole first 2 seasons because I came in season 3. And I just decided in order to prepare to play like young Shelley, I was going to actually watch this both seasons through for the children. Just watch the actors
right.
playing her kids.
Because right.
I needed to be closer to them than to Judith herself.
Right.
And that was, I'm just so glad I trusted that. Otherwise I think I would have, been doing an imitation of, or.
Right. Yeah.
And that's
like just on the surface. Yeah.
But when we met, I actually did that first episode, the first time we see young Shelley, I did that before ever meeting Judith. And I think that was really important because when I met her, I have pictures of the first time I met her and we're just like crying and laughing. And she grabbed, touched my nose and she was like, "Oh, you got a better nose than me. I love you so much."
She
is the light. She is.
I know. I know. That's perfect. That's a perfect name for, whatever, Judy. You sent Sutton Foster fan mail because you were obsessed with Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yes.
And she sent back a headshot that said, "Follow your dreams."
That's right. She did.
And then you're working with Sutton Foster.
I followed those dreams right down to the brass tack, signed me up in a series with Sutton for 7 years.
Come on. When you said to her, well, I'm sure she had no recollection whatsoever, right?
No, she didn't.
Zero.
Know.
What was her reaction when you said, you know, when I was 14, blah, 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 you know?
Sutton has like the most like joyous, buoyant laughter. So when I told her that, she just had this huge smile and like threw her head back and did a big cackle. She loved it. But now it's become both our inside joke and the entire cast's inside joke. I'm like, you know, if we can't get our shit together in a scene, I'll just be like, follow your dreams. Foster. And it's become our, we troll each other with the follow your dreams XO Sutton Foster.
I fucking love that. I love that. So you go to Skidmore, you go to Yale. Like, what was it like when you got into Yale? Were you like, oh my God? Like,
I mean, so I went right out of undergrad, which I was not prepared for in many ways, but I assumed that I would have to audition like a couple of times because most people audition once, twice, three times before.
Right.
And so I was like, well, this will just be, I'm just going to introduce myself to them. But yet also I was like, and I'm also going to get in.
Right.
Delusional.
But don't you wish you had that now? Like, that's the thing I go, and when I think back and I'm like, I had no fucking clue. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get the, and I want a little bit of that left because they chip it away and chip it away until you're just a fucking bitter old dyke like me. Yeah.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, I am only 14, but I'm to being a bitter dyke. I don't fucking know. When I got in, I knew that I had gotten in. When I was first auditioning, because it's a long process, you go to Yale, you audition, you have an end of hour callback, then end of day. So you have at the end of hour, you do your monologues again. And then at the end of the day, you have a brief interview with the chairs of the department.
Is that for everyone or just sometimes they go at end of hour, take care, have a nice day?
Oh no. Yeah. It's you, they only like one or two people from each hour get an end of hour callback.
Oh my God. Wait, so you're sitting there. How do they announce it?
Yeah. There were two of us. They just like go on this in the hallway. They like tape a list of names on the
board. My God. Oh my God. That's so seventh grade. Did I get in the school play?
Exactly. No, it is. It was fully, did I get in the school play? And I got into the school play at the end of hour. And then I got cast again in the school play end of day. And as each time I saw my name, I was like, okie dokie. And I was very real with them at the end of our callback when I had the interview with both the chairs. I was like, listen, I know that I'm funny. I know that I'm quirky. And I actually trust that I'll be able to work. But I will likely work as, you know, a funny girl for a while. But
right.
I know that I am a whole, big, complete person. And I need the training to like solidify that and build that. And they were like, interesting. I was like, I know what I'm good at and I know what I want to train in and I need your help to do that. And
wow. Confidante.
It was less confidence and more like, I don't know. My grandfather like, just gave me some surety.
I fucking love Joe and Bina. I love you, Joe and Bina. Rest in peace. No, power.
But there was something magical happening. And so they said that they would call like 9 days after, because then I had to have a whole, and then they have a callback weekend, like 3 weeks after that. So crazy.
All right. Let's just review that you're there when people don't see their name and leave crying hysterically. And were you like, oh, I feel so bad, but
I was uncomfortable. I was like, this
yeah. Okay. So then you do all that and then you have to wait 3 weeks.
I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks. Then you find out if you're invited to final callback weekend and they invite 30 people and they accept 15 people into the incoming class. So you know that you have 50-50 chances of getting in or not. And it's a 2-day like callback. There's classes, there's interviews, you do your monologues again. It's everything. And then you're, you know, the students also like show you the campus and kind of answer questions.
For the 3 weeks you were waiting, like, were you like, oh my God, I can't.
This is the longest. Yeah. I had basically IBS. I lost a bunch of weight cause I couldn't hold down any food. I got to
audition and wait 3 weeks if that's a weight loss thing.
Listen, for a nervous 21-year-old, it was a weight loss program. So at the end of callback weekend, they're like, so you'll know within like 9 or 10 days and we'll call you. So it was on the 9th or 10th day and I didn't get a call, but I was waiting for it. I was expecting the phone to ring.
And this is pre-cell phone? No, you had your cell phone.
But I didn't have a
cell phone. Okay, got you.
I'm expecting it. And then I was in rehearsal for this play as a senior in college, and I borrowed the stage manager's computer. I was like, I got to check my email. I just have to see. And I got my acceptance letter, and I screamed.
Oh,
and
my God, that's so exciting!
Off to the floor, and I was like, oh, my God! I mean, and a part of me, I was shocked because I didn't get the phone call, so I was like, but I got in. I know I got in. I know that I did.
Right.
And so it was just,
it's like you question yourself. Is this real? Is this real? Is this real? It's so, yeah, this business can fucking, oh my God, that's such an exciting story. I love that.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with the one, the only Molly K. Bernard. How fucking great. Come on. That was a good get, people. Come on. Anyway, Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help, the loyalty, and the dedication of Brittany Jo Sowards. Now, I need you to subscribe. I need you to leave a review. 5 stars, please. 5 stars. I really, really need that because I want more people to know about the podcast so I can keep it going, okay? Because it is a labor of love. Thank you. If you haven't purchased my book, Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, or listen to my book, Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, you have really major issues because you listen to my podcast and you're listening at the end of my podcast, you know, when it's basically over and you haven't like read my book. It's ridiculous. Okay, so please do that. You can get all links and any information about me that you would like to know about upcoming dates and everything at judygold.com, JUDYGOLD.com. Also, if you haven't seen the movie Hysterical on Hulu, you have to see it. It's really fucking great. I'm really proud to be a part of it. Oh, and I just did Godcast. The Tweet of God has a podcast where I play Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So please check that out. I'm going to be in Provincetown all summer doing shows, July and August. Yeah. So I will be needing you to come see me if you are on the Cape, because you will fucking have so much fun. Listen, go to judygold.com. You'll see all my dates and everything. Also, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, because I'm a Jew and I'm a proud Jew and I'm proud to be Jewish. So that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I'm proud that we've done so many episodes and I love interviewing people. So thank you so much. Please get vaccinated if you haven't been vaccinated. It's really important, really fucking important. And as the world gets back to normal, which I don't even know what the fuck normal is, I hope we are all safe and well, and there's fucking peace. I can't take this. Can't even read the paper anymore. So, I mean, I do, but because I have to, but it's so depressing. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now. No,
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.